I am not a preacher. I'm a high school history teacher. And I love teaching about history. But the one thing I love teaching about more is the Bible. And so I am very grateful to have this opportunity. Now, I will say this, and this is probably as part of what I do for a living. I tend to wander around while I'm talking, because in my normal job, I'm trying to make sure that while I'm talking, they're doing what they're supposed to do. So if I come stand behind you and look over your shoulder, I can't do that over there. I'm not just trying to make sure you're taking notes or anything like that. It's just I feel comfortable doing that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. And what I want to do, as I said already, I'm not really a preacher, I'm a teacher. And so this, I may ask you some questions as we go on, and I would like for you to answer them. Okay, is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 14. What we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus as he went to his hometown and how that went. And then we're going to look at Jesus after he leaves his hometown and goes to another city and how that went. And we're going to compare them. Okay? Do a little comparison contrast. Okay? All right, here we go. Chapter Luke 4, starting in verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Okay, we'll stop there and come back to the story in a few minutes. All right. Now, he is handed the scroll out of Isaiah. And we know, because some scholar has found it, that he is reading from Isaiah chapter 61. Okay? But let's look at what he read. Okay? What did Jesus say here? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to do what?" Several things he mentions.
Proclaim good news.
Proclaim good news to whom? To the poor. Okay, what else?
Proclaim freedom for the prisoners.
Proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Also good, right?
Yes.
What else?
Recovery of sight.
Recovery of sight for the blind. And one more. Well, two more. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and to set the oppressed free. So Jesus says, "I'm going to come and well, here I am, and I'm going to set the captives free. I'm going to give sight to the blind. All of this is awesome, right?"
Yes.
Now, what I want to do for a minute, though, because that all sounds great, let's look at Isaiah chapter 61 and read what Jesus is quoting from. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Okay, you guys ready for this? "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." Do you see the difference between the two passages? The one he quoted and the one that, you know, well, Jesus does something a little different with it. Something unexpected. Anybody know what? What did he do? Yeah, he stopped, right? He stops right before it says to declare the day of the Lord's vengeance. Okay, back in Luke. You go back to Luke 4. Jesus is there to to proclaim all of this good stuff, okay, to set the captives free, to show compassion. But he wasn't there to show the Lord's vengeance. I thought that was interesting, that Jesus is there, you know, for the to show all of this compassion, but when it came to vengeance, he stopped short of that. Now, his audience may have wanted him to continue, because some of them, many of them, probably wanted vengeance. On who?
The Romans.
The Romans. Yeah, they were like, well, we want this guy, this Messiah to come so he can kick out the Romans. They didn't understand that that's not what the Messiah was about. Okay? So Jesus comes and he says, I'm here to proclaim the Lord's favor. But he was not here, was not there at that particular time to declare God's vengeance. This is good news for us, I think. And that Jesus is really about showing compassion and not about showing vengeance. Okay. But then he hands the scroll back and he sits down. And what does he say? Today, this is fulfilled in your sight, right? What is he saying there? Really, at least indirectly, he's saying to his hometown, I'm the Messiah. Here I am. Okay. Do they get it? No. Let's read on. Okay. Verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So they're sort of saying, isn't that nice? That nice Jesus boy that we saw grow up, right? We knew Joseph. We know Mary, right? Isn't that nice? And one of our local boys has made good, right? Here's what he has in response to that in verse 23. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. What had he done in Capernaum? What had he done all over the place?
Miracles.
Yes. He said, he's saying, you know what I want you to do? You want me to just come here and show you a bunch of miracles, right? But he wasn't going to do that. Okay. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And Jesus pulls out a couple of Old Testament stories, right? He talks about the time of Elijah when the skies were closed for 3.5 years and it didn't rain, right? And it's a great story if you want to read this sometime. We don't have time to do it today, but in 1 Kings 17, 7, it tells the story. He is sent to a widow in Zarephath, okay, instead of to an Israelite family. And when he gets there, the woman, you may be familiar with the story, the woman basically is pulling all of the what she has left of her food together so that she and her son can eat it and die. Because that, things are that bad. And Elijah says, make me some bread. And so she makes him bread with what little bit she has left, and he says, don't worry about this. We'll have plenty to eat. Okay? And the flour and the oil never runs out, and they always have food. And then the son dies. And God has Elijah lay on top of him, and he comes back to life. And so in that story, there are two miracles, two great miracles. Jesus is pointing out, though, that this happens to Gentiles. Okay? And then he says, hey, during Elisha's time, weren't there lots of lepers in Israel? How come the only one that Elisha healed was a Syrian, a Gentile? Right? So he takes two Old Testament stories and shows that God, you know, God loves the Gentiles too. Right? How do they respond to this? Verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. All right, so this little comparison that he makes, where he shows some Gentiles in a really positive light, it makes them so angry that they want to kill him. And they sort of take him to the edge of town, they're going to throw him off the cliff. Now, it's interesting what happens next. I don't know how Jesus did this. It's interesting to speculate, right? Did he just sort of do some kind of mind trick, Jedi mind trick on them and just walk through? Or did he just, because he was so confident, did he just sort of say, well, you're not going to kill me today, and just walk through? I don't know. Okay? It's hard to say. All we can do is speculate. But whatever it was, they were intent on killing him, and he didn't let them. Okay. But here's what I want us to think about for a minute. To think about their hearts. Why were they so angry? Any idea? Let me ask you a couple questions to think about. Did Jesus say anything to them that wasn't true?
No.
Did he say anything to them, if you really look at the scriptures, that wasn't clear and obvious in the scriptures? No. They should not have been angry over this. But they were. So why were they so angry? Because they weren't interested in the truth. They were interested in hearing nice things about themselves. Right? Oh, yeah, but you're in my hometown. I love you guys. But he wasn't dealing in that, was he? Okay? He was more interested in their hearts. And their hearts really weren't after the truth. And they were pretty familiar with Jesus, right? And I think that it's easy for us to just sort of be familiar with Jesus, isn't it? I mean, growing up in America, we kind of hear about Jesus a lot. And we can be familiar with him and think that we know him, but not really know truth.
Right.
Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
I think it is. Okay. And so, another quick reference to write down, Matthew 13:58, it mentions that after Jesus, it doesn't tell this whole story in Matthew, it mentions it, and it says that Jesus could do very many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And so they had hearts that just kind of wanted to be told nice things, that didn't have a lot of faith in God, and weren't very interested in the truth, and so he couldn't do a lot of miracles there. All right, you guys with me so far? All right, so we're going to continue reading the story. So remember, they're trying to kill him, they're trying to throw him off the cliff, and he just walks right through the crowd, and he goes to Capernaum. Verse 31, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injury. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to the impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering, from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent down over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying hands on each one, Jesus healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You see a completely different heart here, don't you? A completely different town. What kinds of things happen?
Miracles.
What kinds of miracles?
Evil spirits being driven out.
Yeah, evil spirits get driven out. Awesome.
Sicknesses are healed.
Okay. Those are the ones that they mentioned most, right? And Jesus shows that he has authority. They weren't interested in Jesus' authority in Nazareth, were they? Okay, they were interested in nice things. But here, it comments on his authority several times, and you get to see it in action. He has authority over evil spirits. He has authority over fevers. He has authority over blindness. Okay? And they respect his authority. And so, the opposite of what you see in Nazareth, they get to see many miracles. So here comes the comparison and contrast, right? All right. So how are they different in Capernaum than they were in Nazareth? Because that's really, if you think about it, you're comparing the hearts of the people in Nazareth and the hearts of the people in Capernaum, who would you rather be?
Capernaum,
right? Because they get to see miracles. I would guess that most of us would love to see some miracles in our own lives, right? Things changing in our hearts. We having victories in certain areas of our lives, okay? How do we get to see them? By being more like the people in Capernaum. So that's the big question. How are they different in Capernaum? Yes?
I think it points out that they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority.
Okay.
That they listened and they learned from him.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. They were willing to listen and obey his authority. Did you see that in Nazareth? On any level, really? No. Anything else? That's okay. You know, Matthew 13 talks about the people of Nazareth not having faith. These people have faith because they saw the miracle, and what did they do? Suddenly, everybody's outside Peter's house, right, or Simon's house. They show up to get more, to see more miracles. They have faith, and Jesus blesses their faith. And so, I think, I'm going to wrap it up now, and what I want us to be thinking about is, all right, do we want to see the miracles? Do we want to see God bring about change in our lives? Well, we have to love truth. They didn't love truth in Nazareth. We have to respect the authority of Jesus. We have to have faith that he can do it. And so, just a little something for you to think about out of Luke 4. I hope you got some good things out of that study. I did, and it helped me a lot. So, again, thanks again for this opportunity. I hope this was beneficial for you. And thank you.